Turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Last night, I went with my wife to a soccer match in Brighton. We went to watch Titus play soccer for a public high school, Stanley Lake High School. And interesting last night. Something happened. I've coached and watched literally hundreds of soccer games through the years. And I saw something last night I've never seen in my life. Never. We're in the stadium. And cheerleaders down on the field and, you know, kids cheering, everything going on, and teams out there competing. And all of a sudden, something happened. The ref out on the field, in the middle of the field, turned toward the audience. And the audience went silent. He said, "If you don't get rid of that man," he pointed to a man down the stands, "I am walking out on you." 5, 4, 3, and that man jumped up. He started walking out, and the people said, "Go, go, get out of here." It was a man with a big mouth. You know, I determined when my boys were, I think, 10 years old in soccer, that I would, only thing I would say to the refs would be positive. And so I am known for saying, "That's a good call, ref," loud when something went right. And I would shut my mouth when it, you know. But this guy, "Ref, what do you think you're doing? What I'm rare," you know, just, oh. And the ref turned, the crowd went silent. I've never seen a ref control a crowd like this guy did. That guy walked out. You know, it's kind of funny. About 2 minutes left in the game, under the stands, we heard, "What are you doing, ref?" He went out, but, you know, under the stands, you can watch the game through the cracks. Anyway, I saw the results of a bad mouth, wrong speech. And I saw it dealt with. And I saw the way the crowd, you know, a lot of unsaved people in the crowd. I saw the way they disrespected the man with the big mouth. They didn't want him in there either. Well, I want to talk to you about what we say, how we speak. I'm not sure how far I'll get, but I will be done at 9 minutes after 8, okay? 9 after 8, so you don't need to watch your clock. So look at Proverbs 10, look at verse 20. It says, "The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth." How we speak. First of all, how we speak puts on display our changed heart. Do you have notes? You got them. Okay. The blank is changed. It puts, how we speak puts on display our changed heart. And that's why it says the tongue of the just is as choice silver. You know, the book of Proverbs is full of verses dealing with the way we speak, our tongues. Let me give you some. Proverbs 6:17. God hates a lying tongue. In Proverbs 6:24, the flattering tongue of a strange woman, God says, look out for it. Here, the tongue of the just. Then Proverbs 10, verse 31, a froward tongue shall be cut out. Proverbs 12:18, the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright. A wise person has speech that knows how to use knowledge in a right way. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Proverbs 17:4, God talks about a naughty tongue. Proverbs 17, verse 20, God talks about a perverse tongue. Proverbs 18:21, a powerful tongue. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 21:23, keep your tongue. And if you keep your tongue, you'll keep your soul from trouble. Proverbs 25:15, a soft tongue breaks the bones. I wish we could take time and talk about each of these passages. Proverbs 25:23, a backbiting tongue. A backbiting tongue is a bad-mouthing tongue, a backstabbing tongue. And the thought of that verse is if you're ever around a person with a backbiting tongue, how do you deal with them? You know? How do you deal with somebody who's got a bad mouth? It tells us. Proverbs 25:23. Let me just give you kind of a little background. I went to many of the Basic Life Principles conference with Bill Gothard, and he'd shared with a group of us that when you're with someone that you like, and they're talking, and they're saying good things, you go like this. When they're saying things that you're not sure of, you go like this. And when they say something that violates God's word, is perverse, you go like this. Well, that's what this verse says, 25:23, Proverbs. A backbiting tongue, the thought is if you're ever around a person with a backbiting tongue, a bad mouth, you show them an angry countenance. And that'll put a stop to it. Proverbs 31:36, a virtuous woman has the law of kindness in her tongue. I had the opportunity years ago to spend 2 hours in an airport with a man by the name of Vance Havner. Oh boy, did I like that. But he had a quote. Here's what he said. The old country doctor of my boyhood days always began his examination by saying, let me see your tongue. He said, that's a good way to start the examination of anybody. Let me see your tongue. Another said this. He said, medical doctors measure physical health by how the tongue looks. The great physician measures spiritual health by how the tongue acts. He says, you want to see where a person is spiritually? Listen to him talk. Francis de Sales. Our words are a faithful index of the state of our souls. Matthew 12. Yes. Matthew 12, verse 34. Can you turn there with me? Yes, I will, Abby. Matthew 12, verse 34. Look what Jesus said to the Pharisees. These are the big mouths of the New Testament. These were the hypocrites, the religious hypocrites. Look what he called them. Verse 34, Matthew 12. O generation of vipers, you generation of snakes. How can you, being evil, speak good things? It's like you want to say to somebody just perverted their perverted lifestyle. And then to say something good, it's like saying, hey, how can you do that? What do you mean? You're an evil person. How can you speak something good? So he's saying, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, and this is something that I think ought to cross our mind a lot, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Hey, you're a Christian, right? Yeah. How come you have language like that? That's what he means by that. How can you call yourself a Christian, how come you have such a perverted mouth? You know, Vance Havner, again, he said, People would perhaps be fortunate to be like crocodiles. Now, don't say it. How do crocodiles speak of the tongue? How many would know the answer to that? All right, let me give it to you. People would be fortunate to be like crocodiles, at least in one respect. The crocodiles have jaws, lips, and teeth, but no tongue. He says, people ought to be like the crocodiles. Some people would be fortunate to have no tongue. So again, there are hundreds of verses in the Bible. Why is that? Well, here's the reason. How a man speaks is an evidence, an outward evidence of his inner man. It puts on display what you have inside. I remember a constant conversation with my boys when they were growing up, young, junior high school. And some of them had, all of them had fellas on their wrestling teams and their soccer teams that had perverted mouths. And had coaches, unsaved coaches. Some of them cursed. And I would always say to them, you know, don't beat your coach over the head every time he curses. It's a heart issue. Let's pray that God would open the heart of your coach to the gospel and he'd receive Christ and Jesus will change his speech. Does that make sense? So let's look at the context of verse 20. We looked at Proverbs 10:20. The tongue of the just is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. Now look back to verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Wanteth is a word which means lacks. When you speak a lot, you eventually sin. But he that refrains his lips is wise. Let me give you the Scott paraphrase. That's me. The more we talk, the more we sin. Keep your mouth shut and you're wise. That's what that verse is saying. One commentary I read at times is Matthew Henry. He says, usually those that speak much amiss. And among many words, there cannot but be many idle words, which they must shortly give account of. Those that love to hear themselves talk do not consider what work they're making for repentance. Well said. You ever hear somebody that loves to hear themselves talk? Blah, 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 blah. Ecclesiastes 10:12 says, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. Verse 13, Ecclesiastes 10 says, the beginning of words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. 14, a fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? Like, you know, who's going to tell her to shut up? Who's going to tell him to shut up? You tell him and then there they go, off and running, loving to hear themselves talk. We have one newscaster we watch the news. My wife says, he sounds like he's almost singing. And he likes to hear himself talk. Yeah, right. But Proverbs 10:20, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. Now, the tongue of the just, who's a just person? The tongue of the just is talking about someone who's right with God. The tongue, the speech of someone who's righteous or right with God is as choice silver. It's just like choice silver. Choice silver there is silver that's purified by fire or silver that's very valuable. One writer says it contains truths of priceless worth, truths that reflect the Creator and bless His creation. Now, look at the second part of verse 20. The heart of the wicked is little worth. Now, did you notice the connection between heart and tongue? Tongue of the just, heart of the wicked. All right? You've got the connection there. You got tongue and heart. Why is that? Somebody answer that. Why the connection between tongue and heart?
Because
Hand? Yes. Exactly. What's in the heart will come out in the mouth. That's why the connection throughout Proverbs of tongue and heart. What comes out on the tongue is in the heart. A tongue speaks what's in the heart. So it says, interesting, the heart of the wicked is of little worth. That is so interesting to me. A wicked man's heart is not worth much. Little worth means value, little. He is not capable of honor, not capable of merit. So the thought is, a man whose heart is wicked has a tongue that's wicked, and he will have very little value or merit or profit in relation to others. So what? Keep your heart pure, because that will control your speech. The reason you talk bad, the reason you have gossip, the reason you malign, the reason you curse is because you've got that in your heart. Okay, it's a heart issue. Now, verse 23 of Proverbs 10 says, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. There it is again. Your heart will teach your mouth and add learning. That word learning is instruction or doctrine. So what is in your heart will come out on our lips. Therefore, make sure our heart is right with God and full of right knowledge. So a wise person, this is in your notes, a wise person is someone who sees things from God's point of view, is a person who feeds or fills his mind with right thoughts. There's your space, your blank thoughts. Therefore, his speech will be full of right words. So you think of it. Every situation in your life is affected directly by what's in your heart. Amen? Hey, look at Proverbs 4. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. I think this is the so what of all the verses on the heart and on speech. Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse 23. And this could be a life verse for someone. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. One writer said, it means let me look mainly not to the intellectual or theological attainments, but to heavenly teaching. Let me see that my heart is first taught. Then let it teach my mouth and add learning to my lips for the praise of my God and the edifying of the church. Now, you know, you've heard this before. The word heart and mind is used interchangeably in Scripture. You think with your heart, you think with your mind. One writer said, brains of intelligent people tell their lips what to say, thus adding persuasion to their words. Many people talk without thinking and spout hollow words. But how much wiser it would be to have one's mouth serve your brain. Yikes. So here's a constant thought to all of us. It ought to be to have, it is a thought that ought to be going through our minds. It's this. What's in their heart will come out on their lips. Why did he say that? Because that's in his heart. Daddy, why does he curse? Because he's got an evil heart. You see what, you don't clip the top of the dandelion off there. The dandelion, top of the dandelion is cursing. The roots are his heart. I don't know about you, but when I'm dealing with lawns and lawn care, I don't want to go out and just clip the top, mow off the top of all the dandelions. What's going to happen? Yeah, it's just going to come back. What do I want to do? You want to get the roots, some root killer poison, or go out and dig the roots. Help, help, I'm dying. I say to some people after we spray their lawn, I don't think you'll get any sleep tonight. Why is that? Because your window, you better shut your window. Why is that? Because you're going to hear, help, help, we're all dying. It's all your dandelions are dying. Anyway, let me get back to this. Go to Proverbs 15 now. Proverbs chapter 15. Look at verse 26. Proverbs 15, verse 26. And while you're turning there, somebody says, well, I've got a problem with cursing. And what's the answer? Well, get your heart right with God and fill your heart, your mind with His Word. Start meditating on the Scriptures. I suggest this. Take as many verses as you find on filthy language, filthy communication, your speech, your words, and memorize them. And start quoting them back to God and start praying them back to God. Okay, that's what that looks like. Because it's, you know, if you go in for counseling, somebody and the counselor said, well, you come to the counselor and say, you know, I've got a real problem. What's your problem? Well, it's my mouth. Cursing. I say bad words. Do you have any counsel for me? The counselor says, yeah, I do. Get your paper out. Write it down. Here's two words. Stop it! All right, you may go. Well, may I tell you, that's not the way you deal with it. Yeah, for sure you want to stop it, but it's going to keep coming back if you don't deal with your heart. And the way to deal with your heart is the Word of God will deal with your heart. Let God's Word change your heart, and that will change your lips. So, now Proverbs 15, verse 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. But the words, see, thoughts, words, of the pure are pleasant words. Interesting. Thoughts, words. Thoughts of the wicked, but the words of the pure. You see that connection? Interesting to see the connection, again, between heart and words, the thoughts and words of a person. So here it says, the thoughts of a wicked person are detestable to the Lord. However, the words of a pure person, person's right with God, person that knows the Lord, walking in the Word, Word-filled, Spirit-filled person, the words of that kind of person are pleasant words. Hey, did you know that God can read your thoughts as easily as He can read your words? Isn't that to me, that's pretty powerful. See, I can pray with my thoughts. God does talk about crying out to the Lord, my speech. He does talk about that, so I need to do that. But did you know God can read my mind and I can be quoting God's Word? I can be praying to Him in my thought life? So, now, the words, how we speak, second of all, develops or enhances our spiritual life. Back to Proverbs 10. Look at verse 11. Proverbs 10, verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man, here it is again, is a well of life. But violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Mouth, violence. So what does it mean? The mouth of the righteous man is a well of life. That word well speaks of a deep fountain, a reservoir of pure water from an underwater spring. Usually this water is very pure, it's very clean. You look down into the well, you can see the pebbles on the bottom. You know, several feet of water, but you see the pebbles on the bottom. So the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. That means his mouth is a refreshment. It speaks of abundance, energy, growth, source of vigor, vibrant. So the thought is this, a man who's right with God has a depth of godliness down inside him. A well of life. And it's evidenced by his speech. By the way, let me define speech. What is speech? I have three good quotes. These are in your notes. What is speech? Well, a man's heart put to words, that'd be your speech. A man's thoughts wrapped in speech. A quiver of intention shot by the bow of the mouth. That's your speech. So, verse 11, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. So when a righteous man speaks, He says things which are refreshing to people who are mourning, the thought is, grieving, depressed. Now, the second part, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. You figure that one out. One writer, commentary, said this. He said, the mouths of others are like a standing pool. Nothing but insipid trash is found in that pool. And they are too frequently like a poisoned fountain tending to corruption and death. But, it says, violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. That word covereth means makes a branded impression, or as if a hand was put over the mouth. So you can't say a word. Violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. And violence is something said in a sharp way, and it causes his mouth to be stopped. He's not able to say a word in his own defense. And if you watch the man that's up for Supreme Court justice interview today, Kavanaugh, how many watched it? Anybody? So it was on the news. My wife and I watched part of that. Boy, talk about some of the insipid, vitriol, caustic, horrible, trashy, ugly language of liberals, people that they don't believe in God, many of them. They support homosexuality, killing babies, that whole crowd, and watching their senators that believe the same, that represent them, and the vitriol, that ugly, poisonous, violent manner. People screaming, being taken out by the police. And it's like their mouths were stopped, covered, when he said what he did. He was settled. He didn't get angry. He spoke facts and truth. Very impressive. So much different. And made me respect him. Well, I see that. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covers, shuts the mouth of the wicked. Sometimes the mouth of a wicked is slapped shut. Sometimes it's shut with this. Sometimes it's shut by opposition, getting kicked out of a soccer match. One writer said, even when he, talking about the wicked, compresses his lips and says nothing, there's no good there. Another writer said, his mouth is not a well, it's a stagnant pool covered up with noxious weeds and thorns and thistles, filled with moral filth, and what goes from it is poison. He says a tribute was once paid to a great linguist that he not only had learned seven languages well, but he'd also learned when to be silent in all seven. I have a hard time being silent in one language. Go to another passage. Turn to Proverbs 15, verse 4. I'm not going to complete your notes, by the way. I don't intend to. But look at Proverbs 15. Look at verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. What does that mean? A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Well, the word wholesome there in the Hebrew means gentle. One that cures like medicine. A mouth that delivers, that heals, that's a wholesome tongue. One writer said, the tongue that administers proper and seasonable counsel, comforts, reproofs. He said, that's a tree of life. And a tree of life in Scripture speaks of vitality and freshness and life, encouragement and health. It produces life. It's like you hang around a person who has wholesome speech and you're invigorated. You hang around somebody that's got perverseness therein, that's crookedness or wickedness, and you leave with a breach like a split in your spirit. You say, what's wrong? I just feel so ugly being around that person. This writer says, unmerited rebukes, reproaches, unkind words, cruel mockings are perverseness in that little member of the tongue, which boasts and can really affect great things. Now, what's that second part mean? But perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A breach is something that crushes or breaks. Here it's breaks or crushes your spirit. You ever left a person's presence with a crushed spirit? How'd they do that? It's what, by what they said. It just crushed you. You hurt. You felt ugly. That's a breach in your spirit. Lawson, his commentary says that it wounds his, it pierces his wicked person's speech, breaks and bruises the heart of him who's reproached by it. And these words of that kind of person slowly kill people, kill businesses. Watch this. Kills fellowship in churches. A wound of the spirit can go deeper and do more damage to an individual than a real sword. Did a study here the last couple months on serial killers. And there's something common that the serial killers had. The same thing in common as, well, let me just tell you what they all had in common. They had in common anger toward someone, generally a father or a mother. Anger from their childhood, being abused, sexually abused. Anger, bitterness, wrath towards someone. And it festered, it festered, it festered. That's what most of them had in common. It's like, I want to do a study more. I'm really curious about this and go back. I'd love to go back and interview their fathers. I will look at those dads and said, what on earth did you do? Or go back to the mother. Some of them had single parent mother. I mean, just last week just really impacted my life. You know, one common thing of the prostitutes on the streets, you saw on the slide that you saw Karen praying with another lady in Scarlet Hope ministry with a prostitute on the street in Louisville, Kentucky. And there's a ministry that goes out on Thursdays, Thursday afternoon, Thursday nights, Fridays, and hunts for prostitutes. And the two ladies will get out. They have prayer, kind of a Bible study and prayer. And they go out, and they will try to rescue these ladies. And pretty easy to spot on the street. Easy, not only by the way they dress. It's totally immodest. But it's easy by looking at this part of the body from here up. Jeremiah 3:3 talks about the forehead of a whore. This is the forehead of a whore. Usually the cheekbones are sticking out. There's a hardened look. It's an anger. Many times these women are angry. Angry because of a breach in their spirit. Because of words of a father that was a stupid man or a mother. So I made the comment here, a wound in spirit, in the spirit of a person can go deeper and do more damage to a person than a real sword. Phillips in his commentary says, harsh and bitter words, mean and untrue words, words spoken sarcastically or maliciously can hurt a person deep in his soul. You ever heard of William Penn? Here's what he said. Avoid company where it's not profitable or necessary. and in those occasions speak little and last. Silence is wisdom when speaking is folly, and always safe. Some are so foolish, he says, as to interrupt and anticipate those that speak instead of hearing and thinking before they answer. Ever been around somebody like that? Always interrupting. They're so foolish as to interrupt and anticipate those that speak instead of hearing and thinking before they answer, which is uncivil as well as silly. He says, if thou thinkest twice before thou speakest once, thou wilt speak twice the better for it. Better to say nothing than not to the purpose. He said, and to speak pertinently, consider both what is fit and when it is fit to speak. Then he says, in all debates, let truth be thy aim, not victory or an unjust interest, and endeavor to gain rather than to expose thy antagonist. These are quotes you've got to read over and over again to really let it sink in. So how we speak. I've got 4 minutes, 3 minutes. Number three, impacts others. How we speak impacts others. Turn to Proverbs 10. Look at verse 31. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. You know, a man visited the mansion of the aged John D. Rockefeller, multi-millionaire, billionaire, oil tycoon. Visited his mansion. And he saw something that really impressed him. Here's what he saw. He saw a mounted large fish with its mouth wide open. And underneath that large fish with its mouth open was these words. If you had kept your mouth shut, you would not be here. A well-known brand of a fountain pen came with the directions. And the directions of this fountain pen said, when this pen runs too freely, it's a sign that it's nearly empty. Same as the tongue. When the tongue runs too freely, it's a sign that the brain is almost empty. George Eliot said this, blessed is the man who, having nothing to say, abstains from giving wordy evidence of the fact. Right? So in relation to the tongue, there's the thought that runs throughout the Bible, and I'll be done. Do you want to find out what a person's like? Then listen to him talk. A righteous man will speak righteous words. A wicked man will speak wicked words. So when a just person speaks, he demonstrates God's point of view. And this verse says, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. And the cut out means gotten rid of, rooted out, short-lived. It's a comparison to a tree that's been planted. Healthy roots, healthy branches, pretty flowers. Boom, this person's gone, whether on the job, whether in a ministry, in a fellowship, on a sports team. Guy with a wicked mouth, you're going to root him out. Father, thank you for your word. I do pray, God, that you'd help me, help us. Lord, set a watch before our mouths, like David said. Keep the door of our lips.